Praise the Lord. You may be seated. A few things happened outside the church a few years ago. We had a beautiful nativity scene. It was quite big, and everybody driving past could see it clearly. And I remember there was mums taking their little children for walks, and they would stop and look
at the nativity scene.
And one day, I think it became too much for the little ones. Baby Jesus went missing. Somebody had taken baby Jesus, and that was the last time we saw him. But as we prepared for Christmas, I wonder, friends, if we have allowed the Savior to be stolen from our celebrations. For example, in the attempt to be politically correct, Merry Christmas has been replaced with Happy Holidays. Have you noticed the question, are you ready for Christmas, is actually code for, have you done all your shopping yet? It's become so easy at malls and so on where there are nativity scenes to walk right past the manger with our eyes focused on the gifts. But for us friends who love God, Christmas is an
awesome time of year.
A time when we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus and when we declare with the hymn writer, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Amen. We don't apologize. Christmas is a time, friends, when we celebrate God's peace. Christmas, the very word, brings joy to our hearts. It's a classic true story with all the right ingredients. Words like love and joy and peace and goodwill are familiar to those who know the Christmas story. And in Luke 2, verse 14, the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And with these words, a multitude of angels praise God at a time of this miraculous birth of Jesus. And this still rings true today, friends. The meaning of Christmas is about God loving us. It's about God loving us. It's about God giving the most amazing, the most spectacular gift to reconcile the world to himself. As I said, one of my favorite songs, which you sang so nice, is joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Because it makes so real what Christ's birth means to all mankind. And the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is indeed a time, friends, where we celebrate God's peace. But Christmas is a time when we celebrate God's love. Historically, Christmas commemorates the birth of Jesus. But theologically, Christmas is a celebration of the incarnation of God in human form for the reconciliation of humanity back to God. The heart of Christmas is God showing his great love for humanity. Christmas is all about God showing his love for every single person that walks on this earth. The whole superstructure of Christianity, friends, rests on the reality of Christmas. The word incarnation, we don't use that word much, but the word incarnation literally means the act of assuming flesh, whereby the Son of God voluntarily assumed a human body and nature. Reverend Don Skinner puts it this way: God did not send Christ to us. God came to us in Christ. Isn't that a wonderful saying, friends? The theologian described the incarnation with these words: God must be able to come over to our side without leaving his own side. You know, I was reading about this astronaut, James Irwin, who traveled to the moon, experienced things that you and I never will, and yet he never got over the crux of Christmas when he said, there's something more important than man walking on the moon, and that is God walking on the earth. Isn't that wonderful? Now, one of my favorite Christian authors, and I like to quote him, is Max Lucado. He has a way with words. You've got to read his book. His style of writing is just flawless. He captures this indescribable incarnation in his book called God Came Near. When he wrote this, that particular moment was like none other. For through that segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became a man. While the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself up and placed the most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent, in one instant, made himself breakable. He who had been a spirit was now pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to become dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb. The creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated on the amniotic fluids of his mother, and God had come near. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that, friends. The most famous statement in the Bible is John's explanation of why God sent Jesus to earth. And we're looking at it in the New Living Translation. John 3, verse 16, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, we learn this from the angel's opening statement to the shepherds in Bethlehem, Luke 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. The good news of Christmas, friends, is worth celebrating for three reasons. It is personal news. I bring you. It is positive news, good news of great joy. It is universal news for all the people. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, or where you're heading, friends. The good news is this: God loves you. Amen. 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 God loves you, friends. He didn't just yawn one day and say, okay, then, I love you then. No, the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 8, he demonstrated. God demonstrated his
own love for us in this,
that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But in order for Christ to die, he had to be born. And we are here celebrating his birth, friends. But keep in mind that as we look at his little pink cheeks on the Christmas cards, remember why he came. He came as a demonstration of God's love to die for the sins of the world. Amen. Christmas is indeed a time to celebrate God's love. Christmas is a time when we acknowledge God's presence. God loves you. Not only does he love you, but he is with you. And he is for you, friends. So his birth brought great joy to the world of his presence with us. The angels of the Lord announced that you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Shepherds, wise men, and angels shared in the excitement of knowing about this great event. They knew that this was no ordinary baby. The prophets had told of his coming hundreds of years before. The angel Gabriel announced his arrival. The angelic choirs sang a wonderful chorus to him. The brightest star marked his presence. The wise men came to worship him. The shepherds came to honor him. The priests knew from the scriptures that he is coming, and Jerusalem and King Herod were terrified that he came. Amen. Friends, don't mess, man. Hey, I'm excited. I don't swallow my words. I love the fact that Jesus was born just for me. Amen. I don't look all sad and sorry for myself. Jesus' birth was the incarnation of God on earth, opening the door of new hope and eternal life. His mission was to redeem the earth and to save mankind from their sins. However, his coming into the world was not the beginning of Jesus. The Bible says in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You say, what was Jesus' name before he was born? The Word. He was the Word in the beginning. He came from eternity. He always was, and he is the eternal God. He temporarily. I'm tired now. He laid aside his glory and took a body through the Virgin Mary to live long enough to die for the sins of the world, to finish the work of redemption. Christmas is indeed a time to acknowledge God's presence. Christmas is a time, you say, for what? To accept God's salvation. To accept God's salvation. In Luke 2, verse 11, the angel said to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What do saviors do? They save. That's what a savior does. Matthew 1:21, the angel of the Lord said to Joseph about Mary, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that the best news you heard today, friends? Come on now. What a message from heaven to a world weary of life and sick with sin. Unto you is born a Savior. Whoever you are, friends, whatever your sins are, there is salvation from you, before you. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We do things that do not please God. We are born with a sinful nature, and we need that sinful nature to be removed. And the only way is through Jesus Christ, friends. Jesus is the center of Christmas and the reason for the season. C.S. Lewis said it so lovely. The Son of God became a man that men may become the sons of God. Friends, now that is the true meaning of Christmas and something worth celebrating. Jesus came so he could die on the cross for our sins. If we believe that Jesus died for our sins, we can ask him to come into our lives and to forgive us. Why? He's the Savior, and Saviors save. And we can be clean and made whole. I love 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, we can know that heaven is a place we're going to go to when this life is over. Christmas time is indeed a time to accept God's gift of salvation. And one more thing that I remember about Christmas. Christmas is a time to express our gratitude, our thankfulness for God's grace. Amen. For God's grace. Titus 2 verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Christmas is a time, friends, to appreciate what God has done for us in Christ, a time of thanksgiving, a time of remembering God's grace and kindness and love and mercy and goodness. In 2 Corinthians, I love this verse, it's one of my favorite. Paul was out of breath, he was like in awe. Paul said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He's too lovely to explain and to describe. When our hopes crash and our dreams die, Christmas is designed to revive us and to bring happiness and glorious hope to us. With Christ in the heart of a man, then light begins to shine where darkness was before. Ignorance gives place to the beginning of wisdom. Impurity is replaced by purity. Hatred ends and love begins to blossom forth. Christmas began in the heart of God, but it is only complete when it reaches the heart of man. Christmas time is indeed a time to express our gratitude for God's grace. I want to conclude this little part of the service. In our upside down world, friends, don't let anything or anyone steal Christ from your Christmas. He loves you more than you can imagine. He is the real story, but he must become your story. He is the real his story, but he must become your story. Let me end with this verse. Luke 2, verse 11. We kind of put some amplified parts in there. Today, that means right now, in the town of David a savior. What does a savior? One who forgives sins has been born to you. That's personal. He is Christ, which means the long-awaited Messiah, the anointed one, the Lord, your master and your leader. Friends, I want to close with three questions. Is he your savior this Christmas? Is he your Christ? Is he your Lord? I love what Corrie ten Boom once said. If Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I will still be lost. It's time today to make sure that Jesus is born in your heart, friends. And you can do that right now as we pray. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Jesus, thank you for loving us, even when we feel unlovable. We don't understand how you can accept us when we don't measure up. We confess that we are sinners, and we want to turn from the way we've been living. We need you, Lord. We need you as Savior. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I desire to live under your Lordship for the rest of my life. Help me, Lord. May this Christmas always be remembered, because it's the time when we dedicated our hearts to you, or where we rededicated our lives to you. Thank you for Christmas, Lord. Thank you for our families and friends and our church, that we could celebrate the birth of our Savior. Bless every family represented here, Lord. And even as we sit with family and enjoy a good meal and fellowship, that we will in the bottom of our hearts say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for leaving the splendor of heaven to be born in some smelly stable with me on your mind. And that how you came to live for us and die for us. We thank you that you rose from the dead, showing us that we too will rise. And we look forward to the time when we are together worshiping you in all your glory. Bless everyone here, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.